Philippians, the first chapter, and the 20th verse. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and for joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. This is a message alone in itself in the 28th verse. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Now I'd like to read, please, again, draw your attention to the 23rd verse of Philippians 1. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you, all for your furtherance and joy of faith. I'd like to speak just a little while this morning on this thought of either way, we win. Either way, we win. When you are in the church and you are living for God, that it is impossible to lose. You cannot. You cannot. I once wrote an article, and I titled it, God's Dictionary. We have what is called Collegiate Dictionary, World Dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, Children's Dictionary. And in there are many words used as vehicles of conversation. But in the spirit realm, there is a dictionary written by God. And there's some words that are not there. You won't find them. And one of them is lose. Because when you're in God's realm, you win. Whichever way you go. Praise God. The presence of the Lord is here. Brother Trevor Coates, would you pray over the remainder of this service? Amen. Everybody say praise the Lord. Please, no going and out unless it's an emergency. I won't preach long. You may be seated in Jesus' name. There is a philosophy in our world that has evolved through the centuries. whereby men feel that they might gauge in every area of society whether they are progressing or digressing. There is nothing that goes on in our world, whether in the world of sports, whether in the world of professional business, in every area that affects the human being, that there is not this philosophy of win or lose. When you come from a game, somebody says, "Did you win or lose?" When a salesman returns to his boss, and they're having presented a contract, he says, "Did you win it or did you lose it?" That is in our mindset. We are guided and directed by that philosophy. It permeates every area of our society. That's the only way we know whether we are gaining or whether we are losing what we are trying to achieve. It's put in a young child from the time they are 3 or 4 years old. It goes through every area of schooling and then into the job force. Whether you'd like to admit it or not, it has a lot of effect upon your life, whether you're in the church or not. But I'd like to destroy that philosophy here today, because there is something that supersedes silver and gold. There is something that is more important than the collegiate gridiron and who won in the top 20 yesterday. There is something more important than achieving that contract that will give you and put you in the six-figure money area. I want you to know I'm preaching today about a church that goes higher than this world. Come on, saints. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that I'm a part of that. Amen. When I read the Word of God, I see a whole different set of values. I see something that cannot be bought with money. When I read the Word of God, I see something that charisma of a man's personality does not unlock that door. When Jesus came, He came preaching to the poor. He came preaching to the down and out. He came to those who had not. But He also turned to those who had, because they also live a very lonely and secluded life many times. But the power of the gospel leaves no one untouched. But it brings a new set of values. The Bible puts it like this. He takes out the old stony heart and He puts in a heart of flesh. The Bible puts it in these kind of terms. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Folks, let me tell you something. By the triggering of atoms, there is a great power which we call the atom bomb that can level a whole city, that can destroy a countryside. But listen, if you will hear this message brought down in about the next 15 to 20 minutes, if you will hear it, I'm telling you there's something greater than the atom bomb. There's something greater than the neutron bomb. It is so changing that it can blow away the old and rebuild you a brand new life right here today. Is it not true? How many of you receive the Holy Ghost and can say, "It changed me"? It takes out the old way of thinking and it puts in a new way of thinking. Let me tell you a story that happened not too long ago that could illustrate more graphically what I'm saying right now. A very dear friend of mine had a precious saint that was stricken with cancer. Now, we are living in drastic and perilous times. The other day while I was praying, I felt so strongly impressed that the Scripture talks about the times of sorrow. Folks, you got to be living somewhere in a dark wilderness and have not been reading the newspaper or listening to the media to begin to say we're not living in the times of trouble. There's trouble on every hand. It's affecting those in the church and out of the church. Believe me, it's times of great peril we're living in. And so many times when we're in the church, we talk about that. But I'd like to put a new way of talking in your conversation here today on when we're in the church, nobody's a loser. We win either way we go. And this woman was dying of cancer. She had been in agony and she had suffered for a long time. My pastor friend was agonizing over this situation. He was standing there in the hospital room. He was almost fraught with despair. You can imagine what it's like to be a pastor and a minister in this time of sorrow and have your very heart going out of you and sometimes almost feeling hopeless. He was standing there with his hands tightly gripped, tears sitting there on the edge of his eyes. He was so broken for this precious saint. She had been in a semi-coma state. She came out of that with a smile on her face. She looked up at my pastor friend. Suddenly, a smile came upon her. There was a twinkle in her eye. And from that deathbed, she said, "Pastor, I see the hurt in your face and upon your eyes. But I have just learned something from God. Whether I live or whether I die, I win. I'm going to win either way I go." He said something came into that hospital room. There was such a joy that exploded in that place. I'm telling you, the Bible puts it like this. When we die, we are with Jesus Christ. I hate to tell you visitors that are not born again, it's not the same way with you. But when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, and you are baptized in the name of Jesus, suddenly you enter into a realm that no longer is held by the guidelines of this world. You don't lose. There is no digression. It doesn't matter what you're going through, you're going up. The doctor says it's terminal. No, it's not terminal. It's only opened the door to a greater and glorious and more powerful world. Either way we go, we win. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, that kind of a talk frustrates the world because they live in such a realm of the flesh. Hey, matter of fact, in the world of sports, it has got such a hold on them that they have what is now called overtime. They live so long with ties and you'd come out with a 14-14 tie, they couldn't take it. They wanted somebody to go home a winner and somebody to go home a loser. So they had to change the rules and get it to where if it comes down to a tie, when time is finally elapsed, they're going to add more time to it. Because somebody in their world has got to go home a loser, hanging their heads, crying and weeping because they put out the effort and they lost the game. But oh, hear me. God sets the rules in this world. And in this world, nobody's a loser when you're living for Him. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul put it succinctly like this. He said, whether I'm here or whether I'm there, I'm winning. If I'm with you or with Him. He said, I'm torn between the two. But when it's all said and done, if I gotta stay here, I'm gonna be a winner. And if He calls me home, I'm gonna be a winner. If I gotta be with you, I'm gonna be a winner. If I gotta be with Him, I'm gonna be a winner. If I'm in the grave, I'm still winning. If I'm with Him, I'm still winning. My God, visitor, if you could only feel what we're feeling right now. You want to know why I'm living for Jesus? Because whether I'm dead or alive, hear me, I'm on the winning team. You can't lose, folks, with the power of God Almighty. The Apostle Paul was telling the church at Philippi, he said, I want you to know that it's better to be with Him. He said, I'm torn between the two, though. There is something in me that wants to be here for the fulfillment of your joy. Yet there is something within me that wants to be with Him for the fulfillment of my complete joy. But He said, I want you to know, whether I stay or go, all is well. I have won. Hey, let me tell you something. The philosophy of our world is a frustrating philosophy. When you go to your job and things have not gone well, you go home saying that day, I have lost. But when you take Jesus with you on your job, and everything looks like loss, you can walk out with a smile saying, all is well. Everything works together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Hey, man, let me, for a moment, I wouldn't want to make you be that for all the world. But, oh, just put yourself in the shoes of the devil. He rules this world as the prince. How do you think we come up with all these things and this frustration? He's the driver of this. Either you win or lose. There's no other way out for you. But oh, in that world that He's built, in that world of sin and sorrow, His team against you. And He said, one of us, you're gonna end up going down. And when sometimes He afflicts you and brings persecution, and you're hurting and you're agonizing, and out of that you begin to worship and praise God. He says, no, that's not fair. That's not right. Either you're standing and stomping on me, or either I'm winning over you. Somebody's got to win and lose. And you say, uh-uh, devil. Whether I'm hurting or whether I'm happy, I'm winning. He says, no. No, that's not right. You can't play the game that way. And we can tell Him, sorry, you didn't make the rules. You're just in this thing to see it all the way through. And greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, some of you. We're fixing a change from the courtroom to the house of God. The chains are about to shake off. God's about to set you free. He made the rules. He's got a right to make you a winner. Hallelujah. A very dear, fine friend of mine who lived in the town of Texas City. She had one of the greatest conversions, yet she had probably one of the greatest lives of trials that I have ever seen. She suddenly passed away at the age of 30 in a hospital in Galveston, Texas. Whenever you were around her, there was such a beautiful spirit that emanated from this fine young lady. She never did marry. At the age of 30, she had she had one of the greatest walks I've ever seen that anybody's ever had with God. She was so sold out to the things of the Lord. She went in for some test, and they found some trouble in one of her legs. And I'm sorry to say, but it did happen. The medical profession made a very horrible mistake. And gangrene set in, and it was their mistake. They admitted to it. And this young lady did not have long to live. But this young lady was the talk of the hospital. Nurses would come and would try to stay as long as they could in her room, because there was no way, though she knew what had happened and that the doctors had done it, there was a worship that came from her lips. There was no bitterness. There was no feeling of hatred, but she worshiped the Lord. The nurses and the doctors told of her dying and how she passed away. In her last moments, as she lay there upon her deathbed, angelic voices could be heard. The nurses put it like this: when we heard her singing in tongues, as she was worshiping God in that heavenly language, they told us that nurses lined the hall, and doctors in their busy schedule would stop and listen into the room as she would sing in the other language. I'm talking to the visitors that don't understand. When the Holy Ghost comes, there is another language that God gives to you that you've never learned before. It's in the book of Acts. Acts 2:1-4. Acts 10:44-48. And Acts 19:1-6. When you're born again in the kingdom of God, God fills you with your spirit, His spirit. You begin to speak another language as He gives the utterance. It's something so supernatural, but it puts you on the winning team. It lifts you up out of despondency. It takes you from being a loser and makes a winner out of you. They were there. They didn't want to go. They said the nurses were standing there in the halls weeping like babies. The doctors were crying as they heard her worshiping God. They said, how can this be? Oh, whether we are alive or whether we're dead, we have won. Whether we're in the grave or whether we're walking in this body, we have won. When you come to that kind of a philosophy, you have arisen, you have arrived, and you have come above the power of sin and of hell and of the grave. Do you know what I feel God here telling somebody? Come on. Why don't you get on the winning team? Come on. Why don't you get on the team that will save you from a fiery hell? Why don't you get out of that world of philosophy? Why don't you leave behind that world of every day that I live, either I've won or lost? You win when you live for Jesus Christ. I look at the man called Job who lost everything. He lost it all. But when he came down to the bottom line, he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord." What you saying, Job? I'm saying when he was given to me, I was winning. When he was taken away, I was winning. When I was up, I was winning. Now I'm down, I'm winning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, if that Holy Ghost philosophy could come in this church right now, I promise you a revival like your eyes have never seen. I'm promising you a power of the Holy Ghost like you've never known. Come on, some of you. Why don't you quit complaining? Why don't you quit telling God, "Do I have to do this and do that?" And start saying, "God, I'm on the winning team. What can I do? How much can I do? Let me know. Because I'm getting ready for the sound of the trumpet." Oh, Nebuchadnezzar called in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, "I have heard with my ear that the God that I made of gold that is in the valley, that when the music was played, you wouldn't bow. And so I can see him charmingly with a little crooked smile up on his face and a steely gleam of death in his eye. And all with smooth words ready to kill at a moment's time." And said, "Is it so?" He said, "But I rationalize with you. If you would but bow before my God this one time, I'll let you go and I'll set you free." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, Oh, you're on the other team, O king. You just don't understand." Said, "Our God is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace that you say we're going into. We shall be delivered one way or the other. But if he does not deliver us, he's going to take us out of your hands. Whether we burn up or whether we walk out, we're on the winning team. We will not bow. We made up our mind. Hey! There's a devil working in this world, but I made up my mind. I'm not giving in. Not to drugs. Not to alcohol. Not to this world. There's a higher power. There's a higher power. There's a higher power." Hey, folks, they had a philosophy that'll drive any devil up the wall. When the devil pushes you in the corner and says, "Hey, you're about to lose. You're about to get the short end of this stick." And you say, "Oh, yeah?" Said, "I'm winning one way or the other." I can almost hear him screaming. "No, I don't like playing this kind of a game. I don't like it. It ain't right. It doesn't matter what I do, I lose. It don't matter what I do to the church, I lose." You're right, Satan. It don't matter what you do, you lose. Because the problem he's got is a God that's greater than him. The problem he has is that whatever he does, this God is able to unravel. Jesus Christ came into this world with a new philosophy. He said to the rich, "Give up all that you have and come and follow me." The screaming of the rules of this world said, "No. No, that's not the rules we play this game by." Some said, "I'll stick with the rules of the world." The Bible said, and the young rich ruler turned away from Jesus. But there was a man by the name of Matthew. You ever heard of Matthew? Matthew wrote one of the books of the four Gospels. He's sitting at a table and the money's rolling in. You know why? Because he's a corrupt tax collector. He puts it on the table, and when nobody's looking, he scoops it off the top of the table into his money bag. He's got a bankroll that's a growing day by day. He's playing by the rules and breaking the rules and doing anything he wants to do, because he's learned to manipulate in the world he's living in. But one day, there comes a man called Jesus that has a way of touching everything in your life. Folks, he's what you call he who touches every base. He come walking by that old money table and looked across into the eyes of that crook. He looked in the face of Matthew and said, "Hey, I got a higher game that I'm ready for you to play. If you'll get up and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Something turned in the heart of Matthew. He still had the money in his hand, and he was ready to take home a bag full of it. But something moved in his soul and said, "What did you say?" Said, "I'll make you a winner. Either way you go, rise up and follow me." I can see him scoot back the chair. One on his left and right looks up in shock. "Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind to walk away from this? Get out of my way. I like the game that he's fixing to play. Anyway I go, I'm going to win." "Oh," he said, "anything you give up in this world, it's going to come back to you in this life and the life to come 100-fold. It'll come and keep coming. Cast your bread upon the waters and it shall return unto you." Oh. Come on, somebody. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost all over my soul. Don, you can't lose. David, you can't lose. Brian, you can't lose. Anybody listening to me? Brother Haney, you can't lose. Brother Simmons, you can't lose. There's something about this gospel. You may be seated. Hallelujah. 7 years old. He hasn't died yet. A young man in a little town in Mississippi. He's passing away from cancer. What this young man has just said recently is going all over that little town in central Mississippi. I just heard about it yesterday. This little 7-year-old boy laying there dying of this terminal cancer called his mama in just the other day. Everybody's starting to talk about it. What that little boy said. He said, "Mama, Mama, if I'm dying, would you hold my hand? Mama." And this little 7-year-old boy, a little boy that ought to be out playing softball, baseball with the neighborhood kids, is laying there learning something that money can't buy. He said, "Mama, if I'm dying, would you hold my hand?" She said, "Yes, baby. Mama will hold your hand." He lifted up his hands and said, "Mama, when I die, which hand will you hold? Which hand, Mama?" And that mother in her love reached over and said, "Baby, I'll hold both of your hands." She reached over and took both of those little boys' hands in hers. Said, "Son, Mama loves you so much, I'll hold both of your hands." He said, "Mama, isn't that like Jesus? Isn't that the way Jesus does it? He holds both of our hands." Why struggle alone? Why live in sin another day? Folks, if I have ever felt the love of God, I feel God holding up both of your hands, church. Visitor, I feel the love of God here saying, if you'll just reach out, reach out, I'll cover everything that's hurting in your life. Nothing is impossible. Not alcohol. Nothing. Don't die alone. Don't die in sin. Don't pass away without hope. But you may not have the chance to die, because we're living close to the rapture. Oh, anybody feel that? He's going to reach down and get both hands. Ain't nothing going to hold us down. Church, would you start praying? Would you pray right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Am I the only one feeling this? Are there more here today? Can you feel it too? Mama, isn't that like Jesus? He holds both of our hands.
I'm trusting too.
I know how you feel. I was just like that one day. Held by the rules and philosophy of this world. But when I got up, when I pushed back the chair and said, I've had it, and started walking with Jesus, the world said, you're crazy. There ain't no way you can win either way. That's not the way you play the game. I said, he says, you win. Whether you live or die, you win. Everybody praying right now. Somebody needs to get up out of that pew. Brother Clark, what does God want me to do? He wants you to come repent. He wants you to come give your life to Him. He's passing by right now. Some of you that are in the church, you're half in and half out. God wants you to sell out completely. This is revival, saints. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. What you gonna do? Rich young ruler walked away. Matthew followed Jesus. Pray now. Church, if you will, reach over and lay your hand on somebody next to you and say, I'll go pray with you if you'd like to go pray. I'll go with you if you'd like to go talk to God. I want us to pray now. Don't stop now, church. Pray. Lift your voices. Call on God. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, shall we stand? The Spirit of the Lord is here. God is here. Let's all stand in honor to the presence of the Lord right now. Church, would you lift your hands? Would you pray? God is calling. God is calling. Don't die alone. Don't die alone. Oh, Mama Masia, come up, Yokaya. God is calling right now. Come. Come on. You come. You come too. Come on. Come on. In the name of Jesus, God bless them as they come. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. God bless them as they come. Won't you come too? The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. God is calling. Pray, church. Hey, I want you to look up here at me. There's no way that you can say after this, Brother Clark, I'm not coming because I don't understand. What you're feeling goes beyond understanding. This isn't something you figure out with your mind. No, God's calling you right now. Pray, church, keep praying. Saints, keep praying.